Hallelujah. So does anybody remember last week we preached about before the fire fell? We talked about Acts 1, remember? We were literally living, walking through Acts 1. We talked about preparation. We talked about the upper room. We talked about the Lord, how he prepares a people before he pours out his spirit. Amen? Amen? But I got news for you. This morning we're not staying in Acts 1. We're stepping into Acts 2. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're stepping into where the moment of the promise arrived. We're stepping into the moment where heaven filled the house. Amen? Amen. We're stepping into a moment where the church was not just gathered, but they were filled. Amen? They were empowered. They weren't just praying, but they were overflowing. They weren't just in a hidden room, but they were about to be released into the world. Amen? Yes. See, Acts 2 is not a quiet chapter. Acts 2 does not whisper, but it erupts, amen. It breaks open. It's the moment that heaven invaded earth. It's the sound of eternity entering time. The promise of the Father becoming the power of the church, amen. And I need you to understand the weight of this moment. The disciples didn't come out of that upper room with better church programs or new systems developed to grow the church or with a nice religious brand. They didn't come out with a strategy meeting. They came out filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to focus on. Lord, forgive me if I got distracted. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and laser focused on what God has for us to do. Amen. Amen. No, we cannot base our success on how people respond to the Holy Ghost. We're going to continue preaching the gospel. Amen. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And what they did, the disciples came out of that room with fire. They came out with a boldness. They came out with a witness. They came out with the kind of power where a city will stop and ask, what does this mean? That's what I'm hungry for. I'm not hungry for a church that the world can ignore, or a powerless form of Christianity, or a powerless form of religion. I'm not hungry for a Sunday routine that never touches a Monday bondage. I'm hungry for the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm hungry for the kind of Holy Spirit outpouring that makes broken people ask, what must I do? What must I do? Just tell me what to do. I'm hungry for the kind of fire that doesn't just make us feel something when we're up here at the altar, but changes the way we live when we leave the altar. Amen. I'm hungry for the kind of move where God pushes into us, presses into us with the Holy Spirit, and we preach Jesus, where hearts are pierced, sinners begin to repent, and believers become filled with the Holy Ghost, and the church becomes alive. Listen, we need to become alive with the presence of God. See, and there's a phrase right in Acts 2. That's really found right at the beginning of the verse. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. I want you to remember this. It fully came, amen? Yes. It partially came? No. No. It almost came? No. Kind of came. No. No. Fully came, amen? Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, it fully came. That means that the timing was full. That means that the promise was full. That means purpose was full. That means the moment was full. All right, you guys are catching on now. And when heaven reached its fullness, the room could not stay quiet. The fire couldn't stay hidden. The church could not stay powerless. Because when Pentecost fully came, something happened. Heaven filled the house, amen? Amen. All right, we're getting into Acts 2. We're going to go through the whole chapter, amen? Amen. All right, let's go. Acts 2, starting at 1. We're going to go from 1 to 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. Notice that's two different things, okay? One accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. My first point is fullness has a sound. Do you guys know that? Yes. Fullness has a sound. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord with one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Don't mistake that. Before anybody ever spoke, heaven sounded. Come on. Before the people moved, heaven moved. Amen? Amen. Before the church had a voice, heaven made a sound. And that sound didn't come from earth. It came from heaven. That means it didn't begin with human effort. It didn't begin with emotional excitement. It didn't begin with some religious performance. It began with the sound from heaven. That's the difference between man-made activity and a God-breathed outpouring. Amen? Amen. See, we can create noise. Amen. But only God can send a sound from heaven. Amen. We can create excitement, but only God can release his glory. We can create an atmosphere, but only God can fill that atmosphere with his spirit. And the text says, of a rushing mighty wind. The Bible didn't say it was wind, but it came like the sound of wind. The word in the spirit in both Hebrew and Greek carries the idea of breath, wind, and spirit. So this isn't just noise. Do you understand? This is a divine breath filling the room. This is heaven, God breathing into his church, breathing the life into his church. This is God taking a gathered people and turning them into the living, breathing, spirit-filled body that still is being passed on today, generationally. And it filled the whole house. Part of the house. Now, it filled the corner where the loud people are at. You know, the ones that worship real good. No, just the ones that's been in the church for 20 years. They're the ones. The whole house, amen?
Amen.
And that matters because God was not just touching individuals, but he was filling his house. He was filling his church. That is a corporate fullness. You have to understand that. You're a part of that. When you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you become part of the family. Amen.
Amen.
See, this is the atmosphere of heaven taking over the room. This is the presence of God saturating the house. Amen. And that's what my cry is for us, Liberty Life. That we would be a place the presence overflows in, the presence of God. Not where we would just have a good service, get motivated. Not where we would just have a strong worship set and when the music ends, we're no longer feeling the presence of God. That I wouldn't just motivate you on Sunday and you go back to living like hell on Monday. I'm talking about where heaven fills your house. Where we come corporately and heaven fills this house. That's what my hope is. And I know God is doing that now. Amen.
Amen.
I'm praying that there will be a sound from heaven. A sound of what? A rushing wind. A sound of prayer. I'm talking about a sound of surrender. A sound of conviction. A sound of worship, a sound of freedom, amen?
Amen.
A sound of the Spirit breathing a fresh breath of life into his church again. In John 7:37, it says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers, rivers of living water. And John tells us, he spoke this concerning the Spirit. So when the day of Pentecost fully came, the river that Jesus promised began to flow through his believers. Amen?
Amen.
A river. Just a drop. A river. Think about it. Not a trickle. A river. Not just enough to survive. Listen to me. A river of living water. That is fullness. Listen to me. The Spirit didn't come to barely keep you alive.
Amen.
It didn't come just so you can just get by. Amen.
Amen.
It didn't come to just say, Lord, I just let me get to this next moment. Sometimes we need that next moment, but I'm telling you, God came to overflow rivers of living water in you.
Amen.
Listen, When heaven fills your house, the earth can't remain silent. Amen. Fullness has a sound. And this matters so much because some of us have allowed the wrong sounds to fill our lives. You know, the sound of fear. Sound of anxiety, maybe. The sound of offense, you know. You ain't telling me what to do. Stop talking about now. The sound of complaining. You know, they just ain't doing it how I want it done. You know, it's just not my way. Because if they would just listen to the way I want it done, it would be the right way. Amen. The sound of defeat. Poor old me. We had a saying, my grandpa's name was Bill. And it was called Poor Old Bill. And it was a joke. But it was always this joke, running joke. It was poor old me. What about the sound of survival? But when the Holy Spirit fills a person, he changes the sound. Listen to me. Prayer replaces panic, amen? Worship will begin to replace worry. Faith replaces fear. I couldn't think of any other ones that match. So praise replaces heaviness, amen? Oh, wait. Conviction replaces compromise, Josh. Amen. Hallelujah. You cannot be filled with heaven and keep speaking the same. Amen. Like the world has the final word. See, some of us need the Holy Spirit to fill the house of our heart until the sound changes again. Until our home sounds different. Until our marriages begin to sound different. Until our prayer life sounds different. Until the atmosphere in this house sounds like heaven has moved in. Amen. Come on. I don't want Liberty Life Center to be known as just a building. I want there to be a sound in this house. A sound of prayer. A sound of hunger, a sound of people who believe that God can still heal, that God still saves, that God still delivers, that God still fills, that God is still doing miracles. Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Listen, when the sound came from heaven, it didn't stop with the sound. The next thing Luke shows us is fire. Amen? All right, let's go back to Acts 2. We'll start at 3 and go to 4. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Fire, not just wind, but fire. That's a powerful image. Because fire in the Bible, it's never casual. It's never something casual. It represents something. Fire represents presence. It represents a purity. It represents a holiness. Fire represents a divine power. Amen?
Amen.
Think about Moses, a burning bush. Think about how God led Israel by a pillar of fire. Think about how fire fell on the altar. Fire is the thing that consumed the sacrifice. But now, check it, now in Acts 2, the fire rests on people, amen? That's a shift. The fire that once fell on places now has fallen on his people. The fire that once marked altars now marks his believers, amen? The fire that once signaled a divine presence near his people now signals a divine presence inside of his people. And notice what the text says. It sat upon each of them. Not just Peter, not just John, not the strongest or just the loudest, but each of them. I really need you to catch it. Each of them. That means that you're qualified, amen? That God is no respecter of persons. It takes a surrender, amen? Each of them. Pentecost was not just for the spiritual elite. It was for surrendered believers. Holy Spirit did not come to create spectators. I'm sorry to tell you, God did not empower you with the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead, that still lives in you today, to come warm this seat up. I'm telling you, he has a purpose for your life. And it's not to come be spectators. God gave you a gift, the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. People waited on this promise for a long time, and we get to live in the fullness of it. Amen? He came to fill sons and daughters. He came to mark his people with fire. And verse says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Once again, all these words. It's a fullness language. Do you understand? It's a fullness language. The day fully come. The house was fully filled. The people were all filled. This is not a partial Christianity. This is not some powerless form of Christianity. This is a fullness that God has given us. Amen. And we need to walk in the fullness. We need to walk with confidence and a boldness that the Holy Spirit has empowered each of us to walk confidently in Him. Amen. Walk boldly. In Luke 3:16, John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. That means that this day was not just an experience. It was the ministry of Jesus baptizing his people in spirit and fire. Jesus is the baptizer. The Holy Spirit is the gift, amen? Fire is the mark of a people no longer living by flesh, but by the power of God. And we need fire, church. Not wildfire, not some type of strange fire, but we need Holy Ghost fire, amen? Fire that purifies motives, that burns away compromise, that awakens that dead place inside of you, that gives courage to fearful hearts, and that type of fire that makes your prayer life alive again. The type of fire that makes worship more than just singing. Or preaching just more than words. The type of fire that makes the church burn with a love for Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. See, the fire of Pentecost, when it came down, it didn't come to be entertaining. It came to ignite the church. It came to spark the church. And I feel like sometimes maybe we just got so comfortable with Holy Spirit and people have been waiting. They were waiting centuries for this to come, and now we have it, and we don't even take advantage of it. We don't even walk in it and live with it. It's a gift. This is the gift that Jesus gave us. Do you understand this? When he left, he gave us a gift. He gave us a comforter, one that would lead and guide us into all truth. And this is the promise fulfilled. Amen. That's something to shout about. That's something to be grateful about. That should make you clap. That should make you give thanks to God. Amen. That's something to be happy about, something to rejoice about. If you got nothing to wake up and be happy for, trust me, I tell you, you do. You have the Holy Spirit, amen? Sometimes you have to ask the Holy Spirit, what's grown cold in me? You know, where's my prayer life cooled down? Where's my hunger faded? You know, where have I started accepting less than what God has promised? Where have I become comfortable with a Christianity that has no fire, that has no power in it, that has no Holy Spirit? Because let me tell you something. Everything that fire touches, it changes. When fire touches wood, it changes. When fire touches metal, it changes. And if the Holy Spirit has touched your heart, something needs to change. Let me tell you something. I don't believe it when people say they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and they're still cussing up a storm. Let me tell you something. The first thing that the Holy Spirit's going to change is the words coming out of your mouth, because the Holy Spirit knows that life and death are in the power of the tongue. He's going to stop you speaking curses over your life. Let me tell you, if you think you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and nothing's changed in your life, I'm sorry. I'm here today to tell you, guess what? You're a liar. Sorry. Nothing's changing. You're just some powerless form of godliness with no power there of you. You might be able to walk the part and talk the part, but guess what? You're not fooling God. And really, the only one you're fooling is yourself. Something's got to change, amen? If fire touches you, it changes you, amen? Can't be filled with the fire of God and remain comfortable with compromise. You can't be filled with the Spirit of God and remain cold to the lost, to the broken, to the ones that are hurting and suffering. You can't remain silent about Jesus. Because when The Holy Spirit fire hits you. It purifies you. It empowers you. And guess what fire does? It spreads. Spreads. Generationally. Spreads in our city. We need to be that spark. Amen. Guess what? You are a spark in every person you meet. You might be the only Jesus and Holy Spirit someone ever encounters. God's given you opportunities to spread this fire. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe that God wants to put a holy fire back into his remnant, a fire into our prayer life, into our worship, into this church, more importantly, into our homes, into our marriages, into compassion, into obedience, into our children. I'm not asking for emotional sparks. I'm asking God for Holy Ghost fire.
Yes.
That fire that's going to empower you and make you dangerous to the forces of darkness. Amen.
Yeah.
And tender towards the broken. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. If you don't have a tenderness towards the broken, those who are lost and don't know Jesus, there's something wrong. Amen. Jesus didn't come for those who are well. He didn't come for those. He came for those who need a physician. He came for the sick and the lost. That should be your mission. When the Holy Spirit hits you, you should have some compassion towards the lost and towards the broken. Amen. But let me tell you something. If you don't, I got a surprise for you. Most of us have all been lost and broken. So have a little bit of compassion on yourself. Amen. When the fire rested on them too, it didn't just warm up their hearts. It opened their mouths. Amen. My third point is that fullness gives the church a voice. We'll start back at 4 and we'll go to 13. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." All right, we'll stop there. I always thought that was kind of funny. Like, hey, they're not drunk, it's only the third hour. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm still working. I'm still exegeting that, I guess. Yeah. So they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them an utterance. The Spirit filled them, and then the Spirit gave them an utterance. Amen. And that matters because when a Holy Spirit fills the people, he doesn't touch just what they feel. He touches what they say.
Yes, yes.
The Spirit filled their hearts, and then the Spirit gave them a voice. Amen. I'm telling you, I can't do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given me a voice. Amen.
Amen.
And the nation heard the mighty works of God, each in their own language. That's powerful. Because it wasn't about confusion. Pentecost was communication, amen? It wasn't God making noise for no reason. It was him making his works known to the nations. And the crowd was amazed because everyone was speaking in their own language. And this connects with something deep in Scripture. I know you guys have probably thought about this, but God's just good and he showed it to me. Go to Genesis 11, and we're going to read 1 through 9. Let me go. All right. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they will all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth, and it ceased the building of the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused their language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Amen. See, yeah, God confused their language and scattered them, amen. But in Acts 2, something different happens. At Babel, pride caused scattering, but at Pentecost, the Spirit created witness. See, at Babel, humanity tried to build up to heaven, but at Pentecost, heaven came down fully to humanity. See, at Babel, language became a barrier, but at Pentecost, the Spirit crossed that barrier. Amen? See, that's not accidental. That's God showing us that the Holy Spirit's creating a new humanity in Christ. Amen? People from different nations begin to hear the mighty works of God. That means that the gospel is not trapped in one tongue, that the fire is not trapped in one culture, that the Spirit is not limited to one group. He was announcing that Jesus is Lord over all the nations. Amen? And then people ask, what does this mean? See, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit's in a church. The world starts asking questions. They say, well, how can it be that a man's hand is broken and we have it on an x-ray and it gets healed? How can that happen? How can that happen? How can people get healed of cancer? How can people continue to be blessed? How can this happen? See, we're not just being weird for the sake of being weird. This is the power of God. He's creating a witness in people that the world cannot ignore. But what happened? What happened when they started speaking and showing the miracles of God? Some people, they mocked. You're drunk. They said, they're full of new wine. That still happens. Yes. Some people are going to mock what they can't control. Amen? Amen. They'll always criticize what they can't explain. But listen to me. Trust me, I get mocked and criticized. But you can't let mockers define the move of God in you. Amen? Yeah. Peter didn't let mockery silence him. The Spirit gave him a voice. And we need the Holy Spirit in us, in this church, once again, so our voice can pierce this city, amen? Yes. Not the voice of politics or fear or anger or just trying to be entertaining. I'm talking about the voice of a Holy Spirit-filled witness. The voice that declares the mighty works of God that happened in their life. The voice that declares Jesus is still alive, that there's hope for the broken. I'm talking about the voice that speaks the truth in love, no matter how bad it hurts. The voice that refuses to be silent while there's a generation of kids dying without the revelation of Christ. Let me tell you, social media is destructive. It's gotten right in front of all of our children, and they sit there, and it's brainwashing them. Exactly. Anti-Semitic, anti-Christian, United States. It's anti-Israel. It's all anti. It's just the devil at work. Confusion. Well, listen, the Holy Spirit is not just going to fill your heart. He's going to fill your mouth with witness. Amen? Amen. This applies to our lives, each one of our lives, because some of you need the Spirit to take over your mouths. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Because your mouths reveal what your heart is full of. Amen. Let me say it another way. When fear fills your heart, guess what? Fear comes out your mouth. When bitterness fills your heart, bitterness comes out your mouth. When pride fills your heart, guess what? Pride comes out your mouth. When offense is full in your heart, guess what? Offense comes out your mouth. But when the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit fills your heart, I'm telling you something, that witness begins to come out your mouth. That encouragement comes out your mouth, amen. That truth will come out your mouth. That prayer will come out your mouth. That a boldness will come out your mouth. That life will start to come out your mouth, amen. Some of you need to stop saying, I just don't know what to say, and start asking the Holy Spirit for what to say. Amen. Yes. Yes. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to give you an utterance. Amen. Amen. Give me words for my children. How hard is that? Because we think we know. Let me tell you something. A lot of us weren't raised right. We need the Holy Spirit to father us back into a new life. Amen. Amen. So wouldn't it be beneficial before we start speaking over our children to ask the Holy Spirit what we need to say? Yes. Amen? Amen. Wouldn't that be nice? Yes. Wouldn't it be nice if we asked the Holy Spirit before we had a conversation in our marriage? If we asked the Holy Spirit to come in the middle of it? Amen. Yes. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for words. Words for the person at work. Lord, give me the words when I pray. Give me a boldness when I witness, God. Give me the courage that I can speak the name of Jesus over the nations. Amen. Amen. Because Pentecost means the church doesn't have to be silent anymore. Gave you power and he filled your mouth to speak his witness. See, the enemy would love a silent church. He'd love you to be silent in the workplace. He'd love you to be silent in the home. Silent in the city, silent around the broken. But when the Spirit fills you, gives you a voice, and let me tell you, watch what Peter does with that voice. He doesn't preach himself, he preaches Jesus. Amen. Amen. Fourth point is fullness preaches Jesus and it pierces hearts. All right, here we're going. We're going through the stretch now. 14 to 41. Amen. All right. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Come on, this is something to get excited about. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We can just stop right there. Church is over. Amen. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand and I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and by his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that on the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which now you see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool. Let me say that again. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children. That's some good news. And to all who are afar off, as many of the Lord God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Woo! Amen! Yes. Peter stands up with 11. That's kind of a miracle in itself if you think about it. Peter, you know, that guy who denied Jesus. You know, that guy Peter who broke under the pressure. You know, the same Peter who once warmed himself by the wrong fire now stands under the fire of the Holy Spirit and preaches with boldness. And that's what the Spirit does. He just doesn't give gifts. He restores broken people to be his witnesses. Amen. Let me tell you something. That day in that room was a room full of broken, scared people. The Holy Spirit came and filled them with a boldness to declare Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you think you're too far gone, if you think you're too broken, if you don't think that the Lord can use you, I'm here today to tell you that he can. And he will. He loves using the broken. He draws near to the brokenhearted. Amen? He wants to. Why? Because he loves using broken people because he knows that we can't get the glory. I can't get no glory in this. This is all God, what he's doing in my life. Trust me. You want to see what I do with my life? I'll show you what happens. I can wreck some things, amen. But when you turn over and you surrender to God, I'm telling you, this is what it takes. It takes you to surrender to God. How many people in this room have surrendered to God and watched God turn your whole life around, amen? God is no respecter of persons. What he does for us, he will do for you. And I'm telling you, if you haven't surrendered to the power of the Holy Ghost, today is your day. Today is the day that Pentecost has fully come. Take your opportunity and surrender to God. Amen. Amen. Peter stands and says, they're not drunk as you suppose. He explains the moment through Scripture. He said, this is what was spoken through Joel. In other words, this isn't disorder. This is fulfillment. This isn't drunkenness. This is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is not confusion. This is a promise fulfilled. Then Peter preaches Jesus. He doesn't build the sermon around his own personal life experience and try to press it on to everybody else. But he builds his sermon around Christ. Amen. See, a true love and a true move of the Holy Spirit does not make the manifestation the center. A true move of the Holy Spirit makes Jesus Christ the center. Peter preaches the life of Jesus, the miracle, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus, exaltation, and the lordship of Jesus. And they were cut to the heart. That phrase is so powerful. They were pierced. They were convicted. They weren't just impressed. They were, oh yeah, preach is good, man. He preaches with fire. Oh man, when I come to church, you know, I get fired up from the preacher, man. Just he gets me excited. No, that this preaching should pierce your heart. You should be convicted. Not just getting emotionally stirred. Cut to the heart. And when they got cut, they didn't get offended and leave the church and not come back and go find another church where they were more comfortable at, where they could sit in the seat and the preacher would never call them out for just sitting in the seat. But they just wanted to, they stayed there and guess what they said? What should we do? That's what happens. They responded to the conviction. Stop running away when the Holy Spirit convicts you and try to respond to it. Amen? Amen. It's okay. It's okay. We've all been there. I'm there. I'm saying, Lord, what shall I do, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? So next time the Holy Spirit convicts you, we're going to ask, what shall I do, Lord? See, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. I'll say this a lot. This is something that I say. Condemnation says, I did something wrong and that's who I am. But conviction says, I did something wrong, but that's not who I am. Amen? Conviction is a good thing. But we got to know the difference between excitement and conviction. Excitement likes to come and says, man, that's a good service. But conviction says, what must that change in me? Pride will say, hey, Josh, you need to go back and watch the sermon. It was for you, man. You know? Excitement will say, you know, I enjoyed that. But conviction says, man, I need to repent. Pride will say, hey, Josh, you need to repent, bro. See, listen, excitement fades by Monday. I don't want excitement in this house. But I want conviction, because conviction is what's going to produce a transformation in your life. And then when you model conviction and transformation, the next generation will be able to see it. You can model this thing, amen? In John 16, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Conviction is a mercy of God. Did you know that? Conviction isn't condemnation, that type of condemnation that pushes you into hiding, that makes you want to isolate yourself and lock the door. I'm too far gone. I messed up again. This is the 700th time that I messed up, God, and I'm not coming out of this room no more. I'm not good. I don't deserve it, Lord. I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I don't want to hear that. God said, get back up. Amen. Get back up. A righteous man falls down seven times and gets back up. That's what makes you righteous. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you something. Every time you fail, it's not wasted. God's building you back up. Amen. He's making you stronger. He's making you in stronger. You're getting to understand his character on a deeper level. You know, I was just talking. We were talking about the moment where Jesus was getting his feet washed. And I'm telling you, those who are forgiven of much love much, amen. And those who are forgiven a little love little. So guess what? I'm telling you, I've been forgiven of much, amen. So I get to love a lot, amen. He turns your, and that's a miracle in itself, that God can turn our forgiveness into his love for him and other people. Condemnation's going to tell you, you're finished. You're done. Conviction's God saying, come home. Come home. Come home. Repent and be restored. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, so that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And 3,000 responded that day. See, that's not just fire on heads in the upper room. They walked out of there and hearts got pierced. Sinners got saved. People got baptized and the church multiplied. Amen. The gospel proclaimed. Jesus exalted. Let me ask you something. Do you just come to church on Sunday and just want to hang out at the social club, the Christian social club? Are we going to go outside of these walls and talk about Jesus and show people the love of Christ? Amen. This should be a place where we come, we're all overflowing with the Spirit, come into a corporate communion of praising God and come into an overflow. Can you imagine if we all came overflowed? Amen. We need to be, amen. If this is the only time you're coming to get fed, you need to feed yourself. It's not my job to feed you, amen. Not my job to sustain you. You got to feed yourself. Do you guys plug your cell phone up at home? Or you only come to church and plug your cell phone in the power? Oh, man. If your Bible had a battery on it, what would it look like? Let me tell you. Every time you open this thing up and you get into it, you're getting stronger. You're getting smarter. You're getting wiser. This is something that you can, every time you get into it, and when you walk away, you leave a better person. You leave better than you came into it. How wonderful is that? But real fire doesn't just make people shout. Real fire will make you surrender. Amen. See, we need to recover the gift of conviction. I'm talking about in our daily life. Conviction, when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something in our life, we say it cannot stay. It's got to go. It can no longer be here. That attitude, can't stay. That bitterness, can't stay. That hidden sin that nobody knows about, you think you're fooling everybody. Guess what? Once again, you ain't fooling God. You're just fooling yourself. That hidden sin cannot stay. Unforgiveness, it's got to go. Pride, can't stay. Compromise, nope, it's got to go. Fear, you cannot let fear keep ruling you. Amen? Amen? See, the question isn't whether God speaks or not. It's whether are you responding to what he's speaking. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts, don't harden your heart. Amen? And don't blame someone else. We need to be teachable. And guess what? Holy Spirit uses people. So if the Holy Spirit gives me a word and I deliver the word and you get offended, guess what? That's not my fault. If offense is inside your heart, that's you, something you got to deal with, not me. Yeah. Guess what? Nobody can make me mad. You know, the Bible talks about us having a heart that's unoffendable. So if you got offense rising up in your heart, and that's conviction, you're hardening your heart towards the Lord. Amen. Don't try to explain it away. Every time somebody says something, I got to explain it. Let me just explain to you what I was doing. You don't need to explain it away. And don't delay your obedience. Just say, what shall I do, Lord? Lord, just tell me what to do. See, that's a Pentecost question. What shall I do? It has to be the cry of all of our hearts. Amen. See, that's the cry of a heart that stopped resisting and started surrendering. Amen. What shall I do? That shows me you have a surrendered heart. I'll do whatever you say. Whatever it is, Lord. If you put a mentor or a pastor in your life and you're submitted, what shall I do? Help me out. I'm going to do whatever you say. That shows me that your heart is surrendered and you've stopped resisting the fullness of God. And I believe that's the type of conviction that God wants in the church. Not condemnation or shame or manipulation. Holy Spirit conviction that leads to repentance, forgiveness, freedom, and a new life. And if the Spirit can take Peter from denial to boldness, I'm telling you right now, he can restore anybody in this room. Right. Think about that. Think about how much that would hurt. How you would feel ashamed. You've been walking with Jesus. I mean, come on. You've seen the storms come. You've seen miracles. And you're walking with them. You're cutting off ears. I'll never, Lord. And then right when the pressure comes, you break. That was showing his own identity. He didn't even know his own identity. A lot of us don't know what happens. We always say when we was in war, when I was in combat, you never know how you're going to respond to combat until you get into combat. Until it happens. You can do all the training you want. You can listen to all the simulators you want to. But until bullets start flying, until rockets start dropping, until you start seeing real explosions, you never know how you're going to act, right? So when the pressure comes, that can break identity. But it restored him completely to be able to speak over 3,000 people, amen? And if the Spirit can pierce 3,000 hearts at once, he can pierce one of your guys' hearts today. And I hope it's happening, amen? And listen, that day didn't end with people crying at the altar. It formed a new kind of people. Amen. My last point is that fullness forms a devoted people. All right, let's get through this chapter. 42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and all things and had all things in common and sold their possessions. and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily to those who are being saved. Amen. After the 3,000 people responded, Luke shows us what a spirit-filled church looks like. They continued steadfastly. That means they became devout. Amen. Didn't produce some casual form of Christianity. It produced devotion. They devoted themselves to the teachings, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayers. Are you devoted to praying? Are you devoted to fellowship? Are you devoted for the hunger of the word, for a love of the people? For the rhythm of communion and having a shared life. Can you make yourself available and give people permission to speak into your life? Because we're a family. I really believe that with all my heart that we are a family. We have to have a commitment to prayer. See, the fire didn't make them shallow. It made them devoted. See, the Bible says that fear came upon every soul and many miracles, signs, and wonders were done through the apostles. See, there was an awe in the church. You got to live with an awe of what the Holy Spirit is doing. I mean, every day I'm in awe of God. That's a holy reverence, amen? Amen. It's a sense of knowing that God is truly among us. And then they shared with one another. Uh-oh. We don't like sharing so much, but I know that we're getting there, amen, as a people. This house loves to share. And I know all of you are beautiful. But I'm not talking about money. How about mercy and forgiveness?
That's right.
As soon as somebody else messes up, we love to point our finger. Give and it'll be given unto you. Amen. Mercy. They worshiped together. They cared for one another. They ate with gladness and simplicity of heart. They praised the Lord and the Lord added to their church daily. I see the church, the Lord adding to this church daily. Do you see it?
Yes.
See? Do you see that? That day didn't just create a moment. It created a people, amen? A spirit-filled people. A devoted, praying, worshiping, witnessing people. A people alive with awe. That's what we need. Not just powerful altar calls. We need a powerful way of life, amen?
Amen.
Not just one day of fire or talk about yesterday's. I'm talking about a people who live filled. In Ephesians, it talks about being filled with the Spirit. And that phrase carries a meaning of being continually filled. Not just a one and done or yesterday's oil or last year's encounter, but being filled. You got to keep being filled. You got to live filled. You got to walk filled. You got to talk filled. You got to pray filled. You got to parent filled. You got to lead filled. You got to witness filled. Because we're a leaking people. That means we need continual filling. Life drains us. Ministry, conflict drains us. Spiritual warfare drains us. Grief, disappointment drains us. That's why we need to keep coming back to get filled. Not for just a touch, but for a filling. Pentecost fullness is just not an experience to remember. It's a life to continue. Amen. Ask yourself, are you really hungry? Are you connected to the body? Are you committed to prayer? Are you growing in generosity? Are you living with awe? Are you being continually filled? Because the fullness should never leave us. It should form us. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit wants to teach Sunday to Monday. He wants to fill the sanctuary. He wants to fill your living room. He wants the altar. He wants your workplace. He wants your worship. He wants your conversations. He wants the parenting, the preaching. He wants the prayers. He wants our decision. He wants it all. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit-filled church is just not a loud one. It's one that's alive. Alive in worship and holiness and love and compassion and power. And one that speaks Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, Acts 2 showed us what a house looks like when it's filled with fire. Next week, we're going to get into Acts 3, and it's going to show us what happens when a spirit-filled people walk past broken people. Amen? Because the fire was never meant to stay in the room. Your fire was never meant to stay in this room. So I want you to know, next week, we're going to finish in Acts 3, and we're going to see what they did with the power. Amen? Praise God. Come, let's bring the communion up. We're going to take some communion. The way we're going to do is we're going to kind of come in a single file line. We're going to get communion. We'll go back around to our seats. Amen. Today we've watched Acts 2 unfold. We heard the sound from heaven. Talked about the house becoming filled. We watched the fire rest on people. The Spirit give the church a voice. Hearts became pierced and repentance happened once again. Amen. The church became devoted. And now before we leave, we're going to come to the table. Amen. Amen. Yes. So come together and then just come one by one. Eric, can you guys stand here and kind of hand it out? Yes. See, the upper room was not only where the Spirit was poured out, it's where also Jesus took the bread. Amen. And we stand in something powerful today. From Passover to first fruits, through the counting to Shavuot to Pentecost, the count has reached fullness today. The waiting has reached its fulfillment, and God gave Israel something beautiful in Shavuot. It said, "You shall bring from your dwelling places two loaves of bread. They shall be a fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord." Hallelujah. Lord, we lift you up, oh God. We thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that you would bless these elements, God. Oh, we thank you, God, for your body. We thank you for your blood, Lord. So wonderful to us, God. We lift you up and we praise you. We bless you. We thank you, Father, for pouring out your Spirit in each of us, God. For the day of Pentecost had fully come, Lord. We thank you, Father, for Shavuot. We thank you for your Moeds, your Moedims, Father God, that we can live in an expectation. Thank you for every soul here, God. What a beautiful family we have. Amen.
Amen.
We're so blessed and so grateful for each one of you. God has brought us here on purpose, for a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
You're here on purpose, for a purpose. I like that. Hallelujah. Guess what? Before you were in the womb, God made you for a purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. We lift you up, Lord. Hallelujah. We're so grateful and honored. We get to take communion together. We're sharing, amen? Hallelujah. We're so blessed. God's so good to us. So wonderful. We lift you up, Lord, and we praise you, God. We delight in your wonder. We rest in your awe. We're so amazed. Look at our family growing. Amen. This is wonderful. Hallelujah. We praise you, O God. We lift you up and magnify your name. It's so wonderful. Hopefully we have enough juices. Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, if we run out of juice, we'll have to make some out of water, I guess. That's what David said. So we could do that still, Dave. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we have enough.
Look, one exploded on me.
Oh. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll have enough bread. Hallelujah. I love each of you. I hope you guys know that. We are a family of God. Amen. Connected by the Spirit. Each of us. Hallelujah. We have a beautiful family. Amen. Full of love. Full of generosity. Full of mercy, forgiveness, kindness, goodness. We got the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. That's what happens when the Spirit invades a house. Can't help it. Amen. Leviticus 23:17 says, "You shall bring from your dwelling place two loaves of bread, and they shall be a fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord." And see, this is a unique moment in Scripture. Unlike Passover, where unleavened bread reminded of Israel of haste in leaving Egypt, Shavuot included two loaves of bread with leaven, and they were weighed before the Lord as a new grain offering. Not because leaven suddenly became holiness, and this wasn't because it was about escaping anymore. This was about fullness. Amen. And I want you to see this, that Pentecost did not pour out his spirit on a perfect people. I'm reminding you this. He poured out his spirit on a redeemed people. People that are still growing and becoming. People brought before him by his grace. So today we're using leavened bread intentionally, not because it replaces the communion, not because leavened bread itself became sacred, but because today we are standing in the moment of Shavuot. Amen. And these loaves become a picture. The old has been fulfilled. The harvest has come and the Spirit has been poured out and God has gathered his people. Before we break communion, I want to present these loaves to the Lord. Amen. 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 Lord, as Israel presented the new grain offering before you at Shavuot today, we thank you, God, for your provision, Lord. We thank you for your covenant. We thank you for your harvest and the fullness of your Spirit, Lord. We thank you, God. We give these before you, Lord. Receive our lives again, God. Fill your house. Fill this house, God. Let your Spirit rest upon your people. Amen. These loaves remind us of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because communion reminds us of Jesus. I'm going to break this loaf, amen, just as Jesus broke his body for us. I'm going to take our communion. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and he given thanks, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me." Did you eat? His body was broken, given, wounded, and offered. Before that day of Pentecost, there was the cross. And before the outpouring, there was sacrifice. And before heaven filled the house, Jesus gave his body. And then Jesus said, "Jesus, we thank you, God, for your body." And then he took the cup and he said, "This is my new covenant in my blood." Amen. This cup represents his blood, his forgiveness, this covenant, his mercy, his redemption, his blood that opened up the way for the Spirit to dwell within us. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your blood, God. We thank you for your redemption. We thank you for your covenant. We thank you what you began at Passover reached its fullness in Shavuot. Amen. Take ye and drink. The count has reached its fullness. Amen? Amen. The promise has become power. The house was filled. Now you have a responsibility, just as the disciples and apostles, to leave this room carrying what heaven has poured out in you. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to continue. If you guys need prayer, we're going to step up. Worship team, come on up. I want you guys to understand something. The Spirit was not poured out on a perfect people. I'm telling you today that each of you qualify. Lift your hands up in the air. Everybody lift your hands up and say, I'm qualified to carry the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are. I agree. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise in this house. You are qualified. He has called you. Amen. And he has poured out his Spirit, and his Spirit is more than enough. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, God. I thank you for each of these souls today, God. We thank you that the fullness has come. God, we thank you for Shavuot. We thank you for your Moedim, your Moed, God, your appointed times, Lord. We will stay watching, God. Stay expecting, Lord. And Father God, with what you poured out, we will leave, God, and continue to spread your fire, God. I ask that you would increase inside your people, Lord. That you would continue to give them a boldness to witness, God. That you would give them a boldness.